Thank you very much, Tanya. Morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the IRCC call on the 22nd of April 2013. Well, today we have Mike O'Connor, Graham Bunton, James Waddell, Holly Rice, Barbara Knight, Alan Greenberg, Chris Chaplow, Bob Mountain, Jill Titzer, and Christine Green. We have received no apology for today's call. From staff, we have Lars Hoffman, Marika Turnings, and myself, Natalie Perrigan. I'd like to invite all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcription purposes. Please also note from today onwards that Adobe Connect Room is now audio-enabled. This means that it's no longer necessary to connect to the audio bridge to be able to take part in the call. So if you click on the telephone icon at the top of the AC toolbar and follow the steps, you'll be able to activate your microphone. Once this is done, please remember to mute yourself. I'll be available for the duration on the call on individual chat on the AC room if you ever need any assistance. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Thank you, Natalie, and welcome back, everyone. And I should mention that if you're using the mobile version of Adobe Connect, some, but not all of those disclaimers apply.
Getting an echo.
Let me make sure everyone has their mute. There we go. Thank you. So welcome, and welcome back from Beijing, everyone that we saw in China. And per our standard routine, does anyone have any updates or declarations to their statement of interest? Please indicate so now. Okay, seeing no hands.
Graham Bunton here, just saying that I've submitted one.
You have submitted one.
That's why that is. Yep.
Okay. Thank you, Graham. And yes, any other new members? I know that McKelly was in full-on recruiting mode trying to get new members. Did anyone, other new members, have submitted an SOI, or we should be expecting one soon? Okay. Marika.
This is Marika. We did have, I think, two additional members signing up, but there may have been some delay in getting them added to the mailing list, as well as sending them the information on the SOIs due to travel from staff side. So, but we're on top of that, and hopefully by the next meeting, everyone should have submitted their SOI and should be up to date.
Thank you. Also wanted to point out that while we were in China, I crossed paths with Simonetta, a veteran of previous IRTPs, and she was not aware that this working group had already started, and she would like to be added. So can we maybe reach out to Simonetta as well? I kind of thought she would be here, but Lars, go ahead.
Sorry, yes, it's Lars. Hello. I've already reached out to her in China. I think you sent me the email during the GNFA Council session, James, and she's been added to, according to Glenn, she's been added to the mailing list, so she should have been aware of this call, and she's also been added to the wiki of the working group. And she has an SOI standing, so that's all taken care of.
Okay, excellent. So it's not that she wasn't added, it's just that she's just not here today.
Yeah, no, she has been added, yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let me just move. I'm struggling to navigate this little app here, so bear with me. Okay, my app just died. Lovely. Okay, just recapping some of our conversations in Beijing, and I wanted to just provide a quick synopsis of our discussion. I don't know that we had any. We did, I think, achieve one goal, which was to get some new members. I think we now have a couple of new participants on this working group. We also successfully went through our charter questions and presented an update to GNSO Council. I believe we're waiting for the end of constituency and stakeholder group feedback, which is ending this week, or maybe perhaps it's already ended. And we did then continue our analysis of the charter questions, including the questions involving TDRP. And to that end, we were given a presentation by ICANN Compliance. So I wanted to start the discussion there. I have a bit of a I've been thinking about this issue, and I had a bit of a monologue I wanted to share with folks, so if you please bear with me. And I should also point out that I drove my wife to an eye doctor appointment, and her eyes are going to be dilated, so I have to go pick her up. So I may have to drop off the call on short notice here about 10-15 minutes before the top of the hour. So our co-chair, Mikey, has agreed to take it and run on short notice. So thanks, Mikey, in advance. But anyway, going back to TDRP, you know, thinking about what we were all discussing in Beijing and the information that we've gathered thus far, it certainly seems like the message from both ICANN compliance and registrars is that transfers are a confusing process. There is a significant amount of customer dissatisfaction associated with this function. Registrars are also reporting that domain name hijackings are a real problem. They're not necessarily a frequent problem, but when they occur, the damages can be very significant and requiring a very rapid response, and TDRP certainly doesn't fit that bill. Also that, you know, those of us who are veterans of previous working groups recognize that other working groups have made recommendations for new policies to help address these issues that might mitigate some of the needs for TDRP, such as the TAC, which puts registrars in contact with each other in emergency situations, and the change of registrant process, which, although it's not in effect yet, will formalize some of the registrar actions when they change the registrant or the ownership, or ownership's probably a bad word, but the registrant of a domain name. So looking at our charter questions, most of our charter questions revolve around TDRP. So in the spirit of ICANN, we could certainly spend the next several months putting TDRP under a microscope and coming up with ways to improve it, to tweak it, to maybe make it more relevant and more effective. We would then, you know, of course, submit a report to the council that would vote for it and send it to the board, and the board would vote for that and send it to the implementation, where registries and registrars would factor it into their products and services and train their staffs on it and build out systems and write code to whatever we propose. And that would be kind of the normal ICANN process. But I was thinking about this over the, you know, since we left China, and I was thinking, what if we took a different approach? Most of the folks on this call have a commercial background or experience to some degree or another with the commercial products. And what if we looked at TDRP as a product, and we were a team that was responsible for assessing the effectiveness of this product? And I think one of the things we would say definitely is that there's a market for this product, that there's a large number of confused registrants that and that hijacking is a problem, so that we have got a clearly defined market or audience for this product. But at the same time, we would point out that it's not being used. They're not buying this product. They're not the people that it was intended to help are not making use of this policy. And I think that's the other overriding message we're getting out of our information gathering. So in the spirit of being, you know, efficient with our time and our work and our very limited volunteer resources, I wanted to propose the radical idea that this working group consider, first and foremost, before we charge off and spend many, many months fixing TDRP, that we first consider the possibility that we don't need TDRP, that it is not meeting its intended purpose, that other policies have been proposed that have not yet currently hit the streets or you know, bloomed into full effectiveness. And, you know, so what would that look like from a working group? What would we need to be able to comfortably say that we could do something like cancel a policy or put a policy into a hibernation state so that we could examine it in a new context of something like of something like the TIAC and the change of registrant process once those have been allowed to occur. So this is just this is just me brainstorming here a little bit and looking at it from a product or service offering perspective. So I lost my cue here, unfortunately. Maybe Mikey can help me manage that. But anyway, that was my thoughts here. What if before we charge off and spend a lot of time on this, what would satisfy us in terms of justifying the need for this policy? And I lost my connectivity here, so I'll turn it over to Mikey to see if there's anyone who'd like to weigh in on these or share their thoughts.
Okay, this is Mikey. Right now the queue is Bob on his own. We'll start off with Bob. Go for it.
Okay, yeah, thanks, Mikey. James, I love the idea of productizing, an initiative, because I think it would force us to maybe think about it a little bit differently in terms of how we package it and how it's promoted. I do like that idea a lot. I think on the idea of sunsetting an initiative, I think if it's not being used, maybe it's sort of sunset by default or in effect sunsetted, and maybe it's just rather than expending cycles to officially sunset it, maybe we just leave it there. I'm not sure, but at any rate, I would like to offer support for the initiative to productize something that would effectively be used by registrants as a way to more easily address this issue, which again, as you stated, we seem to have the data to prove that it is an issue, and so I think we're solving a real problem if we were to move forward with something like this. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
Holly, I'm going to defer to Marika. I always sort of let Marika go first when she jumps in the queue,
okay.
And then I'll circle back to you if that's okay.
Thanks, Mikey. This is Marika. I like the idea of taking a different approach and looking from a different perspective. I do have a concern, though, that we may be jumping ahead in concluding that it may no longer be necessary. I think before going in that direction, I think the question the group would need to ask is, why is it not being used? Because I think, as we've already shown, and I think as Bob mentioned as well, the data obviously show that IRTP does attract a huge number of complaints. Those don't necessarily make it to a TDRP, and we've also, one of the charter questions is, should we consider indeed opening up to registrants? Because currently it's, at the discretion of registrars or whether or not to initiate a TDRP. And another element there is that I think is something we've raised as well in the issue report is that for the new change of registrant policy, we haven't really considered as part of the IRTP C deliberations what kind of mechanism should be in place to address conflicts that may arise in that space. So I think indeed in addressing the question, I think the working group would also need to look at, okay, if you would decide to get rid of TDRP, what would come in its place to be able to address issues that arise under this policy, as well as some of the changes that we've already started implementing. So I really want to make sure as well that we address those questions and not just draw the conclusion that it's not being used, so let's just get rid of it, without actually considering what can be put in place that would work, would help address complaints, would give registrants a point of reference or a mechanism to address certain issues that currently are not being addressed, seeing the number of complaints we had. And I'm not, of course, saying that all of those would go into a dispute resolution procedure, because I think, as we're all aware, many of them may relate as well to education, information, so definitely other aspects that we need to be considered. But I just wanted to put it on the table as well.
But Mikey, can I jump in with a response?
Sure.
I'm going to take a really, really rare, and I think possibly the first time ever, just to say, almost a disagreement with Marika. I think that what we're not saying is we've concluded that TDRP is, needs to go away. What I'm trying to ascertain is what would it be necessary for us to arrive at that conclusion, that should be one of the options on the table, as opposed to just diving in and, getting under the hood and fixing TDRP, that we should first look at whether or not it needs to exist at all. So I think that is just a point of clarification that I wanted to make. And I understand it's somewhat outside of the norm of how we do things at ICANN. You know, I think we say more work translates into more paper and more policy. I think, like a friend of mine who always says, you know, there's never been a Congress in Washington that has produced less laws or taken some off the books. You know, and I think we could always consider that that might be one possible outcome.
Thanks, James. Holly, back to you.
Thank you, Holly Race, for the record. Where we got to, trying to refresh your notes that got wiped, what we decided in an actual Beijing meeting was the real problem is just about disputes, that's all, and the problem there seems to be who actually follows through with the question, and I think Marika was right, there's also an education problem, which maybe we can deal with through education, through amendment to the registrant rights document or something like that. But it seemed to me where we got to in Beijing was to say only a tiny bit of this issue is really a problem, and there may be other ways that we can deal with that problem. Thank you.
Thanks, Holly. Barbara.
Thanks, Mikey. This is Barbara. So, I mean, I agree with James in the fact that, you know, nobody is really using the dispute policy. However, I don't know that we could necessarily get rid of it altogether. I think that, you know, the first paragraph of the policy, it indicates that, you know, registrars are really encouraged to try to work this out amongst themselves. I think that really is probably the most effective way for these things to be handled. And I think that the reason why we're not seeing as many disputes through the TDRP is because that's probably happening to a large degree. However, you know, there are some instances when a, you know, registrar may not be willing to raise a dispute or cooperate in, you know, resolving a dispute with the other registrar directly. So I do think that there is a place for a transfer dispute mechanism. However, I think in the changing world, and we've made these comments as the registry stakeholder group as well, you know, it may be time to make a change in who is actually responsible for administering the transfer dispute program. And it may very well be that, you know, it's something more like what we have under the UDRP, where there are, you know, a list of dispute resolution providers, and there are a couple right now, because that's obviously where the second level disputes go, is to this, you know, I think there are two or three dispute resolution providers for TDRP. And it may be the time that that's, you know, that's the mechanism by which disputes are resolved versus having it done at the registry level. You know, as we get more and more registries out there, I think it's going to be more difficult, you know, for there to be consistency amongst the registries on how they're handling the various disputes. So, you know, I don't know that I would agree that it's something that should go away altogether, because I do think there needs to be a mechanism by which disputes could be dealt with if they aren't able to be handled at the registry level. But I think that, you know, it is a different world, and we may want to look at it a little differently as to where we put that responsibility. Thanks.
Thanks, Barbara. And Alan, you bring up the...
Yeah, thank you. I guess I'm echoing pretty much everything that everyone else is saying, that if there are problems and it's not being used, then it needs to be changed. Whether, as James sort of implied, it shouldn't be a DRP but be some other mechanism which will address the problem, or whether it needs to be tweaked, I think we need to look into the details more as to who we think should be using it and whether the mechanism is reasonable under those situations. I think it's quite possible we could come out of this with something that is not a DRP, but addresses the problem, perhaps in place of or in addition to. So I think the approach is good. Thank you.
This is Mikey. I'm going to put my own thoughts here at the very end. I think there's really two questions here. One is the content question, and I'm going to lump a lot of the sort of productizing things into that pile. And then there's a process question as to whether, you know, to grind through the process that we normally do in a working group and I'm quite comfortable with the product content part of the argument. I'm a little less comfortable with the process change. I think that's loading a little bit too much work onto the Christmas tree. So I would propose the following. James, I think it would be helpful if you wrote up sort of a manifesto that encapsulates what you are proposing, and also maybe take a listen to the reaction. I haven't been doing the notes because I've been keeping an eye on the queue. But I am cautious about, I'm looking at the charter questions, and it seems to me that there's room in the charter to do the kind of analysis that you're proposing and that I don't really disagree with. But I would prefer to do it in the PDP process rather than venture out into unknown territory, because I think then we're really doing two jobs at the same time, and I'm not real keen on trying to do that. So that's my initial reaction. I don't know if you want to respond to that or not.
No, that's fair. And I actually wanted to go back to, I'm sorry, this is James speaking again, and I did get the call, so I'm now mobile. So hopefully you're able to hear me. I actually wanted to go back to something that Alan said, which is that, and I think it kind of builds on what Barbara was saying, and to some extent Marika, which is that that maybe the answer is something that can come out of a recommendation from a working group that doesn't tweak TDRP and doesn't replace it with another process, but actually, you know, for example, compels registrars and registries and registrants, gives them mechanisms and responsibilities to working together on these issues, you know, as opposed to building in a more formal, formal dispute mechanism. So, I don't know. I think I'll have to go back and read the transcript to get exactly what it was that Alan said there at the end that really kind of resonated with me. But it was something that, you know, that would say something like, you know, we maybe don't necessarily have to fix this or kill it or replace it, but come up with a different answer that addresses the problem. So I think you're right, Mikey, and I want to emphasize it's not something that I have concluded that this is what we should do or that this doesn't work and we should get rid of it. It's more of wanting to start the conversation of, if we were to break out of our traditional ICANN comfort zone, what would an analysis of a policy's usefulness look like? And I think you could probably come up with data very similar to what we see for TDRP coming out of both compliance and the registry. So I did get the call, and I do have to drop, and I do apologize for that. But Mikey, would you take us home, and then I'll put you on mute, and I will be a passive participant from here on out.
Now, what happens if I say no, just theoretically?
Well, you know, you promised me that wasn't going to be a problem, but
I'm just curious about that.
I can wing it. I just feel bad for the people on Interstate 74 here. They're the real losers.
Oh, well, okay, I guess I'll do it. I hate that. Drive safe, James. Marika,
Thank you. Go ahead.
You're next.
Yeah, this is Marika. I just want to pick up on something what Barbara said and kind of brought me back, I think, to our TAAC discussions, is that, you know, maybe one of the reasons why this indeed is not being used that often is that it's really a last resort option. And I think we need to get a better understanding as to, indeed, what are the reasons for using it or not using it, but also take into account that, you know, having something there as a last resort may also serve as a encouragement to parties to actually work things out between themselves, which indeed is the preferred approach, which I think the same thing what we did with the TAEG, saying like by putting this in place, we're actually just doing this for the real outliers because we're hoping that all the other parties are still continuing or are encouraged by keeping talking to each other, and it's only when they don't do it, that's when we can enforce it through the TAEAC mechanism. And also, I'm just wondering, in trying to address the question, you know, do we need it or do we need something else, whether the first question the working group should be looking at is actually the number C on whether there should be dispute options for registrants. I'm saying that may be an option or a question that would actually trigger the further discussion on, okay, if the answer is yes, is indeed then the TDRP, is that the mechanism that should be provided or allowed, or should there be other dispute options? Because it does say, it doesn't say should the TDRP be open, but it says should there be dispute options for registrants.
Yeah.
So I guess that may be a triggering question, and I guess that would be as well the point where you start gathering some data on how it's currently being used and you know how many cases are filed with registries as well as the dispute resolution providers that are currently accredited to run the procedure, and trying to start that assessment of you know, where do you need to take this, and what would be the best approach, so to speak.
Thanks, Marika. And, you know, this part of the conversation is sort of amplifying the notion for me that our charter is actually pretty good. We've got some pretty good questions in there that I think accommodate the kind of analysis that James is proposing. So I think there's a way to have our cake and eat it too, but I'll continue on with the queue. Simonetta, welcome to the gang.
Hi, everyone. This is Simonetta. I apologize because I haven't followed closely what the work group has done so far, and maybe it's helpful for this question looking at right now to understand if people are complaining about the content of what's currently in the TDRP, or if they're merely saying, well, what's there would be nice, but we're not using it, because if the use of it is the problem, then the policy itself doesn't seem to be the problem, and what we would probably have to come up with is a better way or a better system or product on front as a front end to the TDRP. And then the second question, which is our charter question C anyway, is basically just an extension. You would probably always need some kind of a policy document that governs the rules, but then some kind of a more user-friendly front end that makes this accessible for people. So to me, then it all hinges on, are people complaining on what's currently in the policy? Then maybe we need to look at that. But if people aren't complaining about that, they're just saying it's hard to use, then we just need to make it more accessible.
This is Marika. I just see that Mikey actually has dropped and says he'll be back soon. So I don't know if someone else wants to get in the queue in the meantime.
Marika, this is James. I can hear and speak, but I don't know if I'm creating too much background noise.
For me, it's okay.
Okay, and I certainly can't see the queue. Can you tell me who's next?
Holly has her hand up.
Holly, go ahead, please.
Yeah, thank you. Just a reminder, we did have a report from the compliance department about a huge number of complaints, but when it came down to actually looking at a problem with the TDRP, there was like one complaint. And so I think what I said during Beijing was actually the problem may not be the process. The problem is we've got disputes, and maybe that's where we actually look rather than something that isn't being used. Because we did have something really interesting stuff from compliance that we discussed in Beijing. I'd hate to lose that whole session where we did try to work through some of the issues. Like, one was, what are the complaints about? And that really does tie back to question C in the charter. That seems to me the best way forward, you know, whether the dispute options for registrants should be developed and implemented. That seems to me to tie in also with the discussion that you were talking about, which is to make this into some kind of product discussion. Is it working? And then concentrate on where it's not working. I think that's something that ties in with what Marika was saying, but I'm not sure. But, you know, those would be my thoughts. Thanks.
Thank you, Holly. And I think that you bring up a good point, which is that the compliance data seems to indicate that while there is an overall volume of transfer complaints, that there was a mix that we should also be paying attention to. And can I get your clarification on one point here? Because I think the more I listen to some of the some of the statements that folks are making, the more I'm thinking that what Alan had said, and then I think Mikey proposed, is that our charter questions, and I think Marika touched on this as well, that our charter questions do say that should there be dispute mechanisms available to registrants, but does not mention the TDRP by name. So I think that there is, you know, as I think Mikey pointed out, an opening there to say TDRP is not working, there is a problem, they're not using it, it's too slow, it's too expensive, whatever. But we could create something new, or we could standardize the registrar, registrant, registry interactions that are already happening, or formalize something like that. But I think that there is, like Mikey said, there is something in our charter that gives us something to push off on to do that kind of analysis. So I don't know if he's rejoined Marika and Lars, if you could see if he's back on the line, but we can... we could probably bring this part into for a landing by saying that I will start a message on the mailing list, a new thread today, try to write up what I started the conversation with and what everyone has weighed in with thus far, see if I can kind of get together with a summary of that, and then we can continue this discussion there. And I don't know, can you tell if they're back on the line, Rico?
I don't. It's Alan. I don't know if Mikey's back, but I have my hand up. Just one quick comment. I've missed a number of these meetings, including the one in Beijing, so what I'm saying may or may not be relevant. But Holly's reference to the fact that there's a lot of complaints, I think we need to understand how those complaints are resolved or dropped. It
yes.
may well be that problems are getting fixed prior to a TDRP going through, or it may be as you implied, James, that it's too expensive, it's too cumbersome, you know, it's not worth a process for a $10 domain or whatever the issues are. I think we really need to understand what the complaint stream is like and how do complaints drop off so that there are no TDRPs being, for all intents and purposes, being taken out. So it really becomes a matter of analyzing the complaint stream and understanding how they're resolved. And I think we really need to do that before looking at changing processes or inventing new ones. And again, if this information is available and I've missed it, I'm sorry, but that seems to be the next logical step.
Right. Thanks, Alan.
I'm going to have to sign off this call. I'm going to lose power here in about 10 seconds. So, James, if you're able to sort of lamely jump back in, that would be really helpful. I'm sorry, but we had a massive infrastructure failure. See you later.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, thanks for carrying it as far as you can. And, you know, go down to the basement if you're having a storm. And, you know, and I'm still in the car, so we're fresh out of co-chairs. I might have to turn this over to staff. Is staff still on the call? Marika,
this is Marika.
Natalie?
This is Marika. Okay, I'm here, but I'll need to be mobile as well in 10 minutes, so I think Lars is then the one that can step in.
Well, the only
yes.
thing we need right now, Lars, is if you can tell us if anyone is in the queue. That's the one thing I can't see.
No problem. No problem, James. I'm right here, and I'll be here until the call is over.
Okay. Does anyone currently have their hand up?
This is Lars. Holly just put her hand up right now.
Hi, Holly, go ahead.
Fine. I would just like to read out, because obviously you can't see the chat, the comments that Simonetta is making. And let me just read them out, since obviously you can't see them. Things like, we might need to categorize the complaints into the main issues. and then look if there are those are due to a lack of policy or a lack of process on how to apply the policy. That seems to me to be a bit of a follow-up on what Alan was saying, which suggests that there is room for kind of a first a look at the complaints data and understanding of the complaints data. And Simonetta, if you want to come in and explain further what you're saying on the chat, just remembering that James cannot see the chat, so we really have to do everything by phone to help him out. Okay, thank you.
Simonetta, would you mind?
She has her hand up.
Sure. I mean, there's not much to add beyond what has just been read, but, I mean, as you might know, I am a product manager, so the type problem that you solve here is what I do every day. And sometimes when I'm looking at this, the first thing that I put in the chat is I look at the TDRP kind of like the spec document or the business logic explanation of what you're trying to solve. So the problem is you have all these complaints and you're trying to figure out how they should be dealt with. So you have to make some kind of a rule set for it, which is the TDRP currently, or a piece of it is that. So when there's complaints with the TDRP, I think we need to understand, are people complaining about what the TDRP is saying? Are they saying, those rules are wrong, they're unfair, it shouldn't be done this way, it should be done another way? It sounds like the complaints we're getting, without knowing the data very well, aren't about that. They're more about, I don't know how to file my complaint, the person that I filed my complaint with isn't following up, and things like that. So then we need to take a look at these complaints and see, what are they saying? Are 80% of the people complaining about the same little thing? Then this should be probably one of the most important things we need to address and take a look. Is this complaint because the policy doesn't govern how it needs to be dealt with? Or is this complaint happening because it is too cumbersome to deal with this process and or people just plain don't know how to use it? Then if it's the second one, it's somewhat easy to fix because all you need to do is put some kind of a front end on the problem that funnels people into the process, which is relatively easy to do, I guess. So I guess you need to start with looking at where the complaints are and then taking a look at, are they there because the policy is wrong or are they there because it's too hard to use it? And then you can figure things out from there.
Thank you, Simonetta, and I think you're absolutely right. What we need right now is some market research, going back to our product analogy. Lars, can we go next in the queue?
There is no one in the queue at the moment, James.
Thank you.
This is Lars. Can you hear me? There's nobody in the queue right now.
Okay, thank you. Well, listen, we're dropping staff and both of our co-chairs, and I'm going to have to actually get to a hard stop. So let me propose this for a way forward. Why don't I take this, because I think this is a worthwhile discussion to have before we spin up a lot of cycles and volunteer hours on what's wrong with the TDRP. I think it's, as many have said, it's important to understand what the problem is, why it's not being used. I think that we have a very clear message coming from compliance and from registries and registrars that this is not a well-used process. And I guess the next question, the follow-up question, is why. So let me write that up and start that analysis. I think there's some questions that we can perhaps ask of compliance, like, for example, what is the breakdown of TDRP uses and cases? What are registrars telling their registrants when a dispute arrives at their doorstep? What is the level of familiarity? Is the problem that no one's even aware that this process exists as a mechanism? So maybe that's, we have some information, I'm sorry, we have some data. Now let's maybe go and convert the data into information so that we can have an informed discussion about this. But I think this has been a good a good conversation to have, because it causes us, I think, to take a hard look at some of these questions and say, what is this? Is it broken? What was it intended to do? And can we fix it? Or is it really, is there anything salvageable here, or does it need to be replaced? So I will write this up into a thread and get this posted to the mailing list today. I certainly appreciate everyone's time. And if the queue is still clear, Lars, then we can end the call.
James, this is Marika. I just had one small comment, because I think you were saying questions for compliance, but I think the questions you are asking are basically better directed to registries and registrars, because as you know, ICANN itself is not really involved in the TDRP itself. So for information on the number of cases and why they're being initiated, it may be worth reaching out to registries and registrars, and I don't know, maybe in the form of a survey, asking some of those questions that, why haven't you initiated any TDRPs, or what are the reasons? Or maybe it's something we could try to reach back through some of the people that do complain to ICANN compliance in relation to transfer-related issues, whether they have been made aware of the option or have they spoken to their registrar. I think we will probably need to consider a little bit further on who the questions should go to and what would be the best mechanisms to ask those.
Yeah. Yes, okay. And I apologize for being a little glib there. What I was thinking was the TDRP obviously will have to come from registries and registrars, but the nature of the complaints to compliance, as Holly had pointed out, I think that not all of them will be contextually appropriate for TDRP. So, can we get an idea of what that mix or what that breakdown is?
Look, I'm just going to butt in quickly to say there was a presentation at Beijing. It would be worthwhile going back and having a look at it, because there was a huge number of complaints. Very few of them actually involved TDRP. So what I said at the time and say again, let's use the complaints data that we have, that we were briefed on, go back and have a look at it as well as any other information. But let's not lose the work that compliance did already to give that kind of framework to better address where we're going to fix, to better understand the problem we're trying to fix.
Yes, thank you, Holly. I think that's correct. Okay, any other folks in the queue?
This is Lars. There's nobody in the queue at the moment, James.
Thank you, Lars. Okay, everyone, thank you very much, and we will meet again next week, and please watch your inbox for a continuation of this conversation on the list.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, James.
Thanks, James.
Thanks, James.